As previously arranged. Avritcha-lakshayam. For the protection of his servants. Purushena. By the Supreme Person. Maha-atmana. By the Super Soul. Vidaha. Burnt to ashes. Kritcham. That created demon. Tam. Him. Chukram. The disc. Akruda. Angry. Ahim. A serpent. Eva. Like. Pavakaha. Fire. Translation. As fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes, an angry snake, so by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burned to ashes, the created demon, to protect the Lord's devotee. You can repeat. As a fire in the forest,
the fire in the forest
immediately burns to ashes, an angry snake. So by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshana Chakra, immediately burnt to ashes, the created demon, to protect the Lord's devotee. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki. As a pure devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, although in such danger, did not move an inch from his position, nor did he request the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give him protection. He was fixed in understanding, and it was certain that he was simply thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the core of his heart. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee, as indicated by the words, Prakdishtam, the Lord knew everything. Therefore, before anything happened, he had already arranged for his chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarisha. This protection is offered to a devotee even from the very beginning of his devotional service. That's reassuring. Konteya patijani name bhokta pranashati. That's from the Gita, 9th chapter, text 31. If one simply begins devotional service, he is immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 66. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha yashami. Protection begins immediately. The Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection. And thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. His servant may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. So, Pragnishtam Vritcha Rakshayam Purushena Mahatmana Dadaha Kritcham Tang Chakram Grudahim Iva Pavakaha. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurad Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Abhaya Sapur Samshiri Yana Yoga Bhavasatihi. And this is, of course, one of the divine qualities listed by Krishna. He says, first word is a qualification of a devotee, and actually Prabhupada comments this is a specific qualification of a sannyasi in the Bhagavad Gita. Abhaya. Abhaya means fear, and abhaya is the opposite of Vaya, which means without fear. Vaya Shatva, Samshuddhi. So he is established in goodness. A devotee is established in goodness. And Vaya Shatva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga, Yavastiti. He has this knowledge which connects him to Krishna. Jnana Yoga Yavastiti, he is situated in this knowledge. And so because of that knowledge, he is fearless. And what does that knowledge mean? Of course, we can understand several different aspects of this knowledge. One aspect is, he's not the body. He's spirit soul, he's part and parcel of Krishna. He's eternal. He's not burnt by the fire, nor withered by the wind. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He's not slain when the body is slain. I mean, that's the first lesson you hear in the Bhagavad Gita, basically. And that's the verse that, those are the verses we recite during a funeral just to assure the family that poor little Johnny or Betsy or whatever is not dead. They live on. I actually did that at my father's funeral. I said, he continues to live. Oh my God. Of course, sometimes at funerals, they prepare the body so well that it looks like the person's ready to step out of his coffin. I'm sure you've seen that before at funerals. I mean, they're very expert. Oh, he looks so happy. Actually, he wasn't. He was facing the Yamadutas. But anyway, so that's the first point. And then, you know, then there's other points too, like the Lord is always protecting one. The Lord is everywhere. That, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter, Gita, text 30, Yomam Pashati, Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashati, Tashamna Pranashami, Tatamena Pranashati, that the devotee sees Krishna everywhere and in everything, and he's never lost to Krishna, and Krishna's never lost to him. So, all these different aspects of knowledge. And then also, the Lord has his plan. You know, if the Lord wants me to die, that's fine, because I'm his servant. Krishna can kill me, Krishna can protect me, whatever he does. So all these different items of knowledge make a devotee fearless. And even if a devotee, as in the case of Maharaj Ambarish, or other devotees, have the ability to counteract death when it comes, they don't really use their mystic powers. Because a devotee has all these mystic powers automatically. I mean, it's interesting to hear all these stories about Prabhupada, you know, listening to the Prabhupada memories. And, you know, there was one story that Prabhupada was in the back of a long, big, big temple room and in Los Angeles. And he said to the devotees, what's in Radharani's eye? And, you know, obviously devotees couldn't see anything from the back. And so finally the Pujari went there and found some like a speck of dust or hair or something like that and ran around his eye. So Prabhupada had some mystic powers which he displayed from time to time, but there's other stories too. But so a devotee can stop death, but he's not going to interfere with Krishna's plan. Whereas someone who doesn't have the knowledge gets very anxious when death comes. So for example, there was this discussion between Prabhupada and the devotees about World War III. You know, devotees were, you know, these are World War III discussions. And Prabhupada was replying to the devotees. The devotees were saying, Prabhupada, when the bombs fall, there'll be nothing to eat. What are we going to do? In other words, implicit in that was that should we start stockpiling things, you know, supplying a lot of food in case World War III happens. I remember when there was the Y2K, the devotees, many devotees, they were stockpiling a lot of food. They were buying land on credit because they figured the banks would be defunct, you know, the computers would all be crashed, and they'd have no record of the loans that they had taken out. So what happened is the Y2K basically, almost nothing happened. And they had to pay the loans out. And some of the devotees had to go out with stickers for the next 10 years to collect money to pay for their loan. Because they had mortgaged. Not only did they buy new property and they got a mortgage on the new property, but they had mortgaged the existing temple. This happened in Arizona, anyway. Famous story. So anyway, so devotees are very anxious about the future. Prabhupada wasn't anxious about the future. Prabhupada wasn't, you know, worried about his own passing away. So the devotees were saying to Prabhupada, but if the bombs fall, then there'll be no food. Nothing for us to eat. What are we going to do, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, nonchalantly, then we will die. And the devotees, you know, it was shocking hearing Prabhupada say in that tone of voice. I mean, how many of us would say in that tone of voice, you know, what are you going to do when there's a war? Oh, you're going to die in 6 months from now. Oh, my God. Is there anything you can do about it? And Prabhupada said, we'll die. And Prabhupada said, only a fool will complain that when death comes, you know, that's not the exact words, I'm paraphrasing, of course. When death comes, you know, whatever. And, of course, you have the example of Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga was fighting for the demigods, and the demigod said, what sort of benediction would you like to have? And he said, I want to know when I'm going to die. And they said, well, guess what? They looked at their watches. Because the demigods don't have watches. They looked, however they tell the time. And they said, you know, in a few seconds. So he didn't say, is there anything we can do to prevent this? You give me some ceremony. Take me to Duke Hospital. Whatever. And no, instead he came down to the earth planet, took shelter of Krishna, went back to home, back to Godhead. Parikshit Maharaj, very similar story. That Parikshit Maharaj was warned, you're going to die by the bite of the snake bird in 7 days. He could have counteracted. Yet he didn't counteract. He just took it as Krishna's mercy, as Krishna's plan. So he didn't make any plans to defend himself. And so a devotee's like that. A devotee is not, I mean, an advanced devotee is not interested in the four animal propensities. You know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. I mean, he eats, yes, obviously, and sleeps. He may have children like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But that's not his focus in life, and he's not an anxiety about these things or making plans for those things. And as far as defending not only refers to defending one's body when it's obvious that Krishna wants to end your tenure in this material world, but a devotee is not actually interested in defending his reputation either, unless it affects other people or the movement, like Prabhupada. When Prabhupada was criticized, Prabhupada did defend his reputation for the sake of the movement. But if a devotee is not doing preaching work, or a devotee is just by himself, a devotee doesn't care if someone like criticizes him. Well, of course, you have Lord Vrishabhadev, who specifically went out and got everybody to criticize him. You know, Jata Yoga. He went out and he just like walked around like crazy person, you know. And that everybody was, you know, making fun of him. People were passing air in front of him, throwing stones or whatever, because he wasn't concerned. So a devotee is not concerned about his own reputation unless that will affect other people's Krishna consciousness. You know, because people may like us, people may not like us. I mean, it's, you know, sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. So we don't defend like that. And Krishna actually defends a devotee. It's interesting that, you know, our experience is that when someone attacks you and then, you know, verbally or on the internet or something, that Krishna takes care of them. You don't have to take care of them yourself. So, let's talk about this verse that Prabhupada quoted yesterday in his purport. Narayana Paraksarve Milkatashina Viviti Swargavavarga Narakeshu Apitulyartha Darshana. That was the first verse that Prabhupada quoted in yesterday's purport, which is very much in line with what we're discussing here. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. And that of course is from the story of King Chitraketu. Chitraketu, not to tell the whole story, but he was cursed to become a demon by Parvati Durga, because he had sort of teased Lord Shiva for, you know, sitting with Durga on his lap in front of all the sages, and Durga got angry with him. And so he just accepted the curse. He didn't just counter curse or protect himself from the curse, which he had the power to do. He didn't get angry with Durga. He just bowed down to Durga and said, "Mataji, you know, I accept this curse. Basically, I deserve it." And she was surprised, and Lord Shiva says, you know, "Narayana Paraksarve, Nakutashina Vivyati, Swarga Bhavarga Nadakeshu Abhituryarga Darshana," famous verse. That this verse states that a devotee of Narayana, Narayana Paraksarve, Nakutashina Vivyati, he's not afraid. He can go to heaven, he can go to hell, he can get liberated. Abhituryartha Darshana, he sees all these different circumstances as equal. Abhituryartha Darshana, he sees all these different occasions, circumstances as equal. Why? Because he understands that his devotional service is eternal, and whatever he's doing now, he'll be doing in the future. In other words, Prabhupada gave the example in this regard of a wheat threshing machine. No, I've never seen it. Maybe I have seen a wheat threshing machine, but I don't remember seeing it. But a wheat threshing machine only has one business, to thresh wheat. Like if you take it to Nugaloka, of course, we couldn't use a wheat threshing machine, but that's how it's functioned. That's what it's meant to do. So a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he only has one function, to glorify Krishna and to worship Krishna. So wherever he goes, he's going to be doing the same thing. And he's not attached so much to the externals. So if he goes to heaven, he'll preach in heaven. That's the hardest preaching that there is, because it's like preaching in Hawaii, which Prabhupada said, if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. I'm sure you've heard that quote before. Because, and we already spoke about our experiences in Hawaii. We don't need to speak about it anymore. When I was at GBC of Hawaii. So he can go to heaven, he can go to hell, and preach nicely there to all the residents of hell, or he can go back to Godhead. You know, it's the same thing. So that's why a devotee has no fear. Well, that's why a devotee is taking shelter. This is Kunti-ha pratijanahi name bhakti pranashati. For my devotee, he never perishes. Or also, what is it? Swapam apyasha dharma shat prayate mahatobaya. That's another verse. There's that word baya. That in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and there's no fear. So what do we have to worry about? Of course, there are things to worry about, and that is spreading Krishna's movement, other people's spiritual lives. You know, we can worry. Anxiety can be there. Actually, Prabhupada was talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time, and he said that Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada that Prabhupada, you know, I'm in so much anxiety, it's sometimes it's hard to hear my rounds. And Prabhupada said, "Me too." But that anxiety is not mundane. You know, mundane anxiety is for one's own self. It's very self-centered. You know, what am I going to eat later on? Will there be enough food for me to eat? Like the devotees were experiencing when they were worried about World War III. They weren't so much thinking, you know, how will we spread the Krishna conscious movement? Because Prabhupada said at one point the preaching will be very nice. You know, obviously, I don't know. I don't want to experience that time. But anyway, but they were personally interested or personally in anxiety about themselves. You know, what are we going to eat? And, you know, and instead, Prabhupada was interested in the preaching. So a devotee is an anxiety, and Prabhupada took that anxiety upon himself to spread Krishna consciousness, and anxiety over his disciples, anxiety over the temples, anxiety over the deity worship in the temples. There was that story that when Prabhupada went to Australia, he brought the deities of Radha Gopinath with him to Sydney, Australia. And basically, Prabhupada initiated practically everybody was in the temple on the spot, and some people he gave second initiation to. And they knew practically nothing about Krishna consciousness. You know, how much do you know after 1 week in the Hare Krishna movement, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks in the Hare Krishna movement, about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada was an anxiety when he was praying to the deities. You know, Krishna, you have to make arrangements. And now the deities are very well taken care of. The devotees are very dedicated. The devotees are mature. But you hear about these early stories of Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness. So that sort of anxiety is good. And one should take anxiety for Krishna. That is actually recommended. Anxiety for Krishna and anxiety for other living entities. Understanding that as far as you are concerned, the Lord is always protecting. And these are the surrendering principles of devotional service, which we've mentioned many times before. To understand that, of course, the first two are to accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness. Two, reject everything unfavorable. And three is to understand the Lord is always protecting one. Four, the Lord is always maintaining one. And the next one is to always be meek and humble. And the last one is to have no interest other than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we institute these principles of surrender in our own lives, then we can become Krishna conscious very quickly. I mean, that's just meditate on them. Whatever you do, accept things that are favorable for spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, utility is the principle. That's another point that Prabhupada made. And reject things that go against Krishna consciousness, your own personal Krishna consciousness, and spreading Krishna consciousness. And basically understand Krishna will take care of you. Of course, don't take any risks. Wear a seatbelt. You know, sometimes I've seen devotees. I was with a devotee. Yeah, it happens quite often. With a devotee sometimes, and they don't put on their seatbelt. Or they put it on the wrong way because it's bothering them. They have them with Gopal. I'm in the car with him, you know. He just puts on one portion of the seatbelt just so he's legal. He doesn't get a ticket. I said, that's more dangerous. He said, Krishna will protect me. I said, Krishna is protecting you by giving you instructions from your guru. Oh, okay. Like that story Prabhupada talked about how the devotee was in the house and the water was coming up and he was a great devotee, completely convinced that Krishna was going to protect him. And then the boat came to try to save him and he refused, thinking that God was going to protect him. And then he was on the roof, and a helicopter came, and he refused the helicopter, throwing down a rope because he thought that God was going to protect him. And then he died. And then he complained to God later on that he didn't protect him. And God said, you jackass. Yeah, you fool. Didn't you see the boat and the helicopter? I said, so obviously, we do make some endeavor, you know, for our own physical protection sometimes. You know, we do go to the doctor, you know, let's say if you have some disease, we do take our herbal medicine or different things. Like, of course, don't want to get too much into it. But we do make some endeavor because we see that as being sent by Krishna. But we don't over-endeavor for these things. You know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. So that's the point. So any questions or comments about these things?
For Lord Maharaj, he famously, when he's praying to Lord Shri, he says, I don't have any didn't ask for myself. I don't want to pray for fools and rascals.
Yeah. He said, I'm an anxiety, actually.
And that's why I get rid of the anxiety. Is. So we see the quality of Prahlada Maharaj's Krishna consciousness, in a sense, that's what you have to have, that kind of quality of Krishna consciousness, in order to really think that way. So how should we be approaching Krishna consciousness so that we can have some sort of, we can't just be willy-nilly about one thing and expect the other.
Well, we have a service within the Krishna consciousness movement, which is meant, the movement is actually meant to bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's actually the purpose, the vision. You know, sometimes people ask, you know, what is the mission statement or the vision? The vision is to bring people. I was just in New Taliban. I said, have you actually worked out your vision? You know, they're doing all these things helter-skelter there. You know, just really not organized. I said, what is the purpose of New Taliban? And they said, well, to have cows and to have a lot of houses so people can live. I said, what? That's not the purpose. I mean, you may have cows. I'm not against cows. I'm not a demon. And you may have houses for people to live. But what's your vision? I said, we haven't thought about that yet. I said, the vision should be to bring as many people as possible, to expose as many people as possible to Krishna consciousness, so that they become Krishna conscious. That's the vision. And then, in order to do that, you do this, this, and that. But they were thinking their vision is to fit as many people on the property as possible. I mean, you know, they say, well, we have so many 100 acres, we want to have as many people living here as possible. What is that? I said, I'm running away if that's going to happen. Because it would be a mess. It would be like, Vrindavan is now, you know. Or Delhi. Even worse. With all the pollution. I said, your vision is to engage as many people in Krishna. So how do you do that? You bring people to the farm, and they're Krishna conscious in their own lives. I mean, there's only a certain amount of people you could house here. And then who's going to pay for all that? Anyway. So the point is, every project has to have a vision statement. You know, vision and mission statement. And for ISKCON, it's to engage and help people advance in Krishna consciousness, as many people as possible, and to advance quickly in Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's it. Or as one devotee said, more devotees, happier devotees. Because the only way you're going to be happy is if you're Krishna conscious. There ain't no other way. So, if you understand the purpose of this movement, I mean, you have all the statements, like Prabhupada said, you know, the 7 statements of ISKCON, you know, in order to, you know, distribute books, have farm communities and stuff like that, but the whole purpose is to engage people and have them advance in Krishna consciousness. Then, and you concentrate and you're part of that, meeting the objective, or you're working together cooperatively to meet the objective, like I probably talk about cooperation, then you can be an anxiety. That anxiety is the same as Prahlada Maharaj's anxiety. It's a practical thing. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not on Prahlada Maharaj's platform and thinking of all the fools and rascals. You know, this is a quote for the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam. Thinking I'm sick of an anxiety of all the fools and rascals. No, I go out there to Walmart. I am not an anxiety about all the people in Walmart. I'm just thinking, let me get the best price when I go into Walmart. You know, I just got to be honest. But if I'm in anxiety over the Krishna consciousness movement, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, then that is non-different than the anxiety for all the fools and rascals, because that's what the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to do, is to bring all the fools and rascals to Krishna consciousness. Is that? That's really practically how we do it. I mean, I don't have the consciousness of Prahlada Maharaj. Yeah, that would be artificial.
Sometimes they would say in the past where devotees would come up with some ideas for different projects that, you know, would cause them great anxiety, but those projects also sometimes weren't Krishna's
When depression is over endeavor.
So how does one distinguish between anxiety that's beneficial anxiety and anxiety that's detrimental?
That's it. So one has to consult with other devotees to find out. You know, sometimes when you're young, I mean, I did that in Miami. You know, I just like bought a hotel to engage people in Krishna. And the desire was good, but I mean, there's many reasons why it didn't work, but I didn't really think clearly about, you know, everything that we required to do and plan it out strategically. So you have to engage in strategic planning to see if some plan is actually practical. But Prabhupada, when he was attempting to buy the Mumbai or Bombay land, he was in complete anxiety about that. Yeah, Prabhupada was completely stressed out from the Bombay land. And, you know, he accepted that. That was meditation on Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. You know, not thinking of the gopis. I mean, actually it's interesting. Like one time, one devotee is Yogeshwar, which is in the memories. Hopefully I have time to say this. He bought Prabhupada one of Chandidas's books that he had gotten. Maybe you've heard this memory before. You know, real intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would love to read. So he brought this to Prabhupada because he'd gotten as a gift from someone. And he said, Prabhupada, you know, what about it? Can we read this? And Prabhupada, of course, said, you know, it's too intimate for you. It's too intimate for you. And then the next day, an hour or two, he called Yogeshwar back and said, Yogeshwar, I want to read something from the book from you. And it was just like something like, can you, you know, wrap your legs around me or something? Yeah, that's what you're talking about. You know, some real intimate thing. Yogeshwar, and Prabhupada proved to him that he wasn't ready to hear those things. And Yogeshwar basically was blown away, just ran away when Prabhupada said that. So, anyway, one has to understand one's adhikar in Krishna consciousness. And one has the right to do. So one had, anyway, so getting back to the point, so what one should be practical in taking on any tasks of Krishna. And consult with others. So after dealing with the Miami Hotel, I came here to North Carolina. And I was practical. I just lived on the land without any toilet or anything like that. I became more practical by learning through the school of hard knocks. You understand? To be practical rather than pie in the sky. You know, I had so much anxiety in Miami that all I could eat was take was milk because I had such ulcers. It was really intense. So anyway, we learned from experience. It would have been a good project, actually, had other devotees cooperated and helped me with it. But it wasn't like that. I was expecting more help from others, but people actually opposed me rather than helped me. So, didn't work. Anyway, learn from experience.